So this is the introduction to counting and accounting the rungs of the ladder that leads from the human animal to the divine image. This is the deeper significance of counting the Omer. And to understand it, we go to the first page of Chumash, go to Genesis. We're going to ask the following question, that we have here a gradation of different levels of the natural phenomena of the world around us. When we come to the sixth day, there we have, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and cattle after their kind, their kind, we should rather translate their species, since there have been other views of the origin of species, and everything that creeps on the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let's make mankind in our image, B'tzelem Elohim, after our likeness, v'yirdu, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. So here we have the following question. It's clear that according to everything that's written in the Bible, there's a great distinction between the human being and the animal world. So we're a bit surprised, without now going into how to reconcile the 6 days of creation with modern science. And anyone who's got questions on this, so I would recommend two important books. One is called The Challenge, edited by one of the top recent Orthodox scientists called Professor Dom, and his close associate of Ari Carmel, a major disciple of Rav Tesla, in their book called The Challenge, which gives various approaches to reconcile. I feel there's no contradiction, on the contrary. It's also a very good discussion, based also on a lot of Torah sources and a lot of scientific investigation. In the Encyclopedia of Biblical Interpretation of Rav Kasha, it goes into great detail. And I've also got interesting to say, I had quite a discussion about this question with the late Lubavitcher Rebbe. In any case, this, you find a challenge, it's also his letter and so on. There's also a more recent book by Professor Aviezer, which brings everything up to date. Also, showing that the 6 days of creation, they are, in fact, according to modern science, the most comprehensive understanding of the different levels of the world around us. And I also saw that this is from a Jewish professor. There's a fantastic book by William Lee called also The Days of Creation, non-Jew, who works in a similar manner. So there are plenty of works that describe this. But the question we have to ask, all of these who look at this description and they believe it, there's great truth in one way or another in these 6 days of creation, why are the mammals created on the same day as the human being? We see, in fact, it's clear from the terminology that's used. Whenever it uses the word boro, it describes a complete jump from one level to the next. That's Bereishit Bara Elohim. The first jump was what's called the singularity, the beginning of life on this planet, any form of existence of this planet. That's boro. Et ha-shamay ve-et ha-aretz, even the bodies of the universe. It all starts with a singularity. Something that comes from nothing, as it were. But we say, as the Kabbalists say, it's really Ein Meyesh. Why? Because it's the lower reality being produced from a higher reality. Higher reality is the power of God, who's the power of spirit, which is beyond our clear understanding as long as we're tied to the body. But which becomes clear to many people when their body and soul are separated, then they recognize the true world is a really spiritual world. And the physical is a certain relative aspect related to the spiritual world, but not having an independent existence. But that's it's not in our experience when we're living. So therefore we have, that's the first borrow. The next borrow which is mentioned, it says, when the first sign of life was produced, because you use many terms for creating, yet to make, asiya, yatsira, to form, create forms. But the word bara is used in the first description of life, which is in the oceans. It is said here by on the fifth day, verse 21. That's the first creation of life. Is the Tanim Gudolim, some say, the dinosaurs, whatever they are. And then, they describes various forms of life. And when it comes to the mammals, it's a new day. Yeah? On verse 24. And there says Vayas. Really, because life had already been created in the oceans or in the reptiles. Tanim Kudil might be the reptiles. But when it comes to the mammals, it just says Vayas. And then it says that in verse 26, Hashem said, let us make man. Why is it says Salmenu Kilmatenu? So I'll tell you here, the pshat of this is, according to many commentators, especially the Malbim, what's mean in our image? In the plural. Chazal says in the plural because the Malachim joined in the creation. That's why it says in the plural. It said, let us make man in our image. After God is singular. Bereshit bara Elokim, it starts in the singular. Why is here over to the plural? So the simple answer is, have you got an answer?
Because he's thinking. He's talking to himself.
Now the simple answer is that as far as the human being contains within himself all the levels of creation. Yeah? If we take the world as described generally, mineral, vegetable, animal, human, yeah? So certainly the mineral world is contained in the human being. In fact, there are some, I've seen it written in one of the books on, let's say if you analyze the human being, purely from a biochemical aspect, that everything happens to the human being is really biochemical. Yeah, there's not everything else. It's just a product of the biochemical, but the basis of the biochemical, the minerals, the same minerals that you find in the world around us, most of them are contained in the human body. And if you analyze this is brought in Faith of Judaism by Epstein. He brings it there when he speaks about creation. So he brings a source that says, well, you know, the human being, if you just analyze the essence of the human being as biochemical reactions of various minerals that are contained in the body, well, all those minerals you can buy in a drugstore for a few hundred dollars. And that's the human being. What is he? A body of miracles, just a group of miracles that work together according to natural laws of causation, the ability of freedom, knowing that the soul is all an illusion, freedom is an illusion. And we work biochemically. So it's the mineral world. And then we have to, obviously, everyone knows, some want to interpret the human being in terms of being part of the vegetable world. I mean, the trees, they grow, have a power of growth. We're not just minerals that don't have any life. No, we've got a life of growth and reproduction that you find in the vegetable world. But we can't, and that's also another interpretation of the human being. And then you have a higher level, the human being has in common with the animal world. And amongst the animal world, the closest are the mammals. So therefore, this has brought about also all concept of evolution based upon these principles.
that you analyze the person according to these four levels. So Hashem says, I'm going to make an Adam. And the word Adam means is in the image of God. I'm going to make a human being who will have a part of divinity in him. But he's going to have, within his essence, he's going to have the mineral power of existence, the vegetable power of growth and reproduction, the animal power of movement and the five senses. And even if you go throughout the animal world, you will find there are so many qualities of mind found also in the animal world. They're not together like they are in the human being, but there are many animals that have certain innate, instinctive powers that are even greater than human beings possess, as we know. There's certainly many animals have a far higher level of being able to smell things from afar than human being. And some have a memory also, in an unusual way, and like what's a naturalistic memory. But some that also have certain sign languages that have between them, certainly. But the human being is greater than all this. What makes him greater? So that's mentioned, that is the reason why they're put together, because the human being is partly an animal. But he must know that the highest quality, it says in the next verse, you look further, it says, what's the purpose of making man having all these common factors, especially with the mammals that are closest to him? Because viadu, this is, viadu vidgatayim vashamayim, they should rule over the fish of the sea, which is the initial creation of life, and the birds of heaven, and also all the animals in the whole earth, and everything creeps on the earth. Then it says Hashem created God in his image. It says all in the singular, Hashem by himself. And what was his image? His image was expressed through the power of his soul. So that he could express a commandment directly to man and give him a blessing. Now, on this word viyirdu, those who call Rashi, you should see what Rashi says from the sage. Understand this word viyirdu, which is a key word. And all of us know, what does the root generally mean? Yarad. What's yarad mean? To go down. To go down. And also it's used sometimes, viyirdu, in a different format, which means that they should go up and rule. They should be rulers. They should be the ones who give directions. Direction, you either go up or you go down. Now, the human being has all properties also of the mammals inside him. And they're a big force in the human being. And that's part of the salmeno in the plural. But he's been given a unique power of beria. What's a new creation? He's been given a soul, as described later in more detail. And therefore the sages say, viyirdu, zacha, Rashi brings, if the human being merits, he will rule over the animal world and also over his own animistic instincts. And if not, then he'll go down, he'll become a beast. He'll become a true beast. He'll be one of the animals, but he's worse than them. He'll go right down, be below the animals. So the whole reason, if you look at it in this manner, that the human being is put amongst the animals, and the animals, we know some of them are domestic, some of them very wild. Human beings have a choice. Is it going to be Yirdu or is it going to be Yardu? Are you going to be the leader with the direction of the animalistic instinct, or are you going to give in? In which case, you'll become the worst beast ever in existence. If there's any time that mankind, it was shown a bit in the Mabul, in the deluge, but that's history. Yeah? But it's not history. That's what's going on today in the world. Is man, the Nazis, they regarded human beings like scum of the earth. Yeah? Because, why? Because they wanted to rule Deutschland über alles. Yeah? Go over top. But this feeling of pride that they can do what they want with human beings brought the Nazis to be the beasts worse than any animal in the world.
There's no animal species in the world that can make gas chambers and try and destroy and be as cruel as you can imagine and go to the extent of cruelty. There's no animal. Yeah, we know some of them loved animals. Yeah. In fact, the leader of Bergen-Belsen, he loved his pigeons. And when he had to go away, he said, should always remember to feed my pigeons. Very important. With the same tone of gassing human beings in cruelest fashion. That happened all over the world. And today it's been taken up by the Islam, many of them, unfortunately. They started all in Hitler's time, when the Mufti of Jerusalem, who was the original, the earliest distorter of the, in modern times, to make an issue of killing Jews in the masses, as he tried to do, or in 1929, and during the war he was in Berlin working together with Hitler to go and destroy the Jews and any Jew in the world and any people who sympathized with him. And he's the one who enticed Hitler to make sure he would come with his best army, which was supposed to have defended the German army against the Russians. The Russian front was difficult. He said, it's more important, get rid of all the Jews in Palestine. And he had them all ready to also to be mass murdered. And what do we see today? The others who are using the same gases that were used by Hitler to do mass killings, primarily by most internecine hostilities between different Arab Muslim groups. Mass killings, chemical warfare, become already part of the Middle East, and including the worst cruelties the person can imagine. These people have become beasts. They train them to go to live like beasts. They train them to go and eat live rabbits and live cats, to be as beastly as you can possibly imagine. And this goes through the mass media, it goes to the minds of young people, and that's how they grow up. So human beings are being nurtured to become beasts of this world on the lowest level. All mentioned at the beginning of the Chumash. Is it going to be Virdo that they will really rule, or Vidyardu? Just a small difference. And this is all got to do with the initial power of freedom given to the human being through his soul. Either you'll choose the path of life, or if not, you're choosing the path of death. And this is a death awareness and consciousness that today has such a terrible impact upon human beings. I just want to end this with the story of the Mashgiach, Slobodkin, his daughter, it's a living Bnei Brak, his daughter was the Rebbe's involvement. And he was in a hospital when the Germans were about to burn up the hospital for the Jews. And he was very sick. And there was someone there who heard his last talk, and he said, he is most concerned what's happening. The Tzelem Elohim, the divine image of human being, is being completely destroyed by the Nazis. And is carrying on today. Unfortunately, his influence carrying on today unfortunately in the Muslim world, to some extent also still in the Christian world, it's rising again. In the Western world, and it's a terrible situation we're faced with. And that is the deeper significance why we count the Omer. Because the type of offering that's brought, the Omer, straight night after Pesach, what food is it? It's animal fodder. Hashem says, you be careful, you were in Egypt, and Egypt were animalistic. You've got to get out of this and count your way up to eat true human food, which is the offering which coincides with giving the Torah. So that's the introduction.